Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I have to turn the mic on. Anybody still upset over my thinking that this team could end up on a 3-game losing streak today?
I didn't realize you'd said that.
I did say that yesterday. And I meant it tongue-in-cheek most of the rest of the way because it felt like a loss last week. And yet, I guess, you know, emailers today have whipped me, which is okay. It's fine. I really, you know.
I think the players were treating it like a loss.
I know they were, and I was too. And if I'm going to treat it, I mean, if the players are going to treat it as a loss, why the hell can't I?
Listen, I was in that locker room at Everbank Field. That was not a happy crew.
I got the sense
pusses.
Immediately after listening to the postgame comments, and I got that sense that, you know, wow, this feels really like a loss. And
yeah.
I mean, and it's not just because I was disgusted with the way they played last week, but it was kind of like, I'm glad they're treating this as a loss. They should treat it as a loss because then it'll give them a sense of urgency mm-hmm. to realize they had best do something about it before you get into the postseason. And that was my entire reasoning for doing that yesterday.
Yeah.
And some people thought I was being serious.
Well, I mean, your point is serious.
Well, if that's the point I was trying to make.
I mean, the method may have been tongue-in-cheek, but your point is serious.
Well, you know, sometimes you try to use sarcasm and you try to use things that, you know, don't really translate well unless, of course, you're in person with each other, and then that's what happens. It's kind of like emails. You know, emails are a lousy form of communication.
Upset? How many people are upset?
Well, you know, I don't know. Andy's just going overboard here over all the emails.
Oh,
that's fine. Whatever.
Pshaw.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter.
Nah.
It's okay. Yeah. Okay, so it's Thursday in the Patriots Playbook, which means, of course, Prediction Thursday. And I mentioned this a bit yesterday, and we mention this every week about this time, Eric. But at the same time, we have yet to have anybody accurately predict a Patriots score this year. Nobody. We've gotten hundreds,
mm-hmm.
maybe even thousands of score predictions. Nobody's predicted one right yet. Now, this is your last chance in the regular season to do this in order to get the Patriots yearbook / record book that we've been offering to somebody who will accurately predict the score. And here's the key, and I touched on this briefly in yesterday's show, but here's the key. What you have to do is you have to think with your head and not your heart. And this week should be the toughest week of all to predict because we just don't know how the Patriots are going to play this game. We don't know. By the time they kick off at 4:25, we should know who and where and what time they're going to play in the playoffs and whether or not they're even going to play on Wild Card Weekend. We should know. And so my thought is that if we know that this team has to play on Wild Card Weekend, which would be next weekend, I say they pull all the starters. And I say they basically tank it. Now, it's hard to say tank because, you know, the second teamers who would get a lot of the playing time, you know they're going to go out there and bust their tails.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're going to go up against Miami starters. Miami already lost to this team, what, 2-3 weeks ago, 23-16.
Yep.
Same score as we had against Jacksonville.
Yep.
So I think it stands to reason that Miami, and you know, and I mentioned this yesterday as well on the show, you know that Miami is, this is their Super Bowl, this is their game, just like last week was Jacksonville's Super Bowl. They know that they can go into the offseason on a much better feeling. If they go out on their own, they knock off a team that's going to be in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's the hated New England Patriots.
Yeah, although I want, yeah, some of them, I just have... It's difficult, to, like you said, to predict this week because I know some of those guys are playing for pride. Some of those guys who don't get a chance to play when they finally do get in
mm-hmm.
want to do their best. Obviously, for themselves personally, maybe they're going to be a free agent and they want to, you know, just have a positive karma to going into the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, I wonder if they just are just looking forward to the offseason and just like, this is a formality, let's get this over with. I'm going to brother-in-law it the whole time.
Right.
Impossible to predict which teams are going to do that, which individuals on each team are going to do that even. you know, to some extent.
Well, that's why I think this week is the hardest week of all to predict, because I think there's two different teams that could actually take the field against the Dolphins here on Sunday. We could see a team that could be fighting for a first-round bye if the door is left open. And we see a team that has decided, okay, today's the day that we need to rest if the door is closed.
Yep.
I don't really know which way to go. I just don't.
I think if they hadn't played so badly the last 2 weeks, I think there'd be more of a likelihood that they say, let's take it easy. Regardless of what happens in the 1 o'clock games.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they played so poorly and made such a fuss after winning last week's game tells me that they're going to be serious and might play the whole game.
Regardless?
Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah, regardless.
Wow. Okay. So is that now, I wasn't paying attention doing your picks because I'm catching up on emails
here. No, that's okay.
So in that regard then, how do you think that, you know, what are your thoughts then on the game this week?
The spread is 10.
10,
and
right?
A half.
Yeah. Way too big a spread.
I think they win in cover.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm willing to go. I think the Patriots win. I don't think there's any way they cover.
Then that means they're not playing their best football.
I don't know. I mean, I think they'll go out there and they'll try to kick butt, but I think Miami's going to have something to say about that. I just don't think Miami's going to go down easily. I just don't. Regardless, I just have this feeling that I just don't see it happening. I mean,
I think we saw that a month ago, or whatever, you know, 4 weeks, 3 weeks ago, whenever when we went to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I think they gave us their best then. I'm not so sure they...
That they can do it now? I don't know.
That they want to do it now.
Oh, you think they're ready to pack it in?
Yeah.
Based on?
They're not going to the playoffs. What do they care?
But at the same time, though, you know, this is, like I said last week, this is their Super Bowl.
I don't know if they feel that way.
You think they're just they're ready to go?
I haven't heard anything that tells me that they feel that way.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. See, that's the intrigue.
Yeah.
That's why we have a ton of intrigue here. So I want you then, as we welcome you inside the Patriots Playbook for a Thursday.
Oh, and by the way, we might have some weather.
Thursday, we might have some weather issues as well to talk about, which I definitely think would favor New England.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. If we do end up with weather, you know, whether it be rain or snow, which are both being talked about here for Sunday, what is the latest weather anyway?
I'm just going to look.
You're going to look at it. Okay,
right now, yep.
Then clearly that could affect, I think, Miami more so than New England. The Patriots are practicing outside today because of the expected bad weather, and because, you know, they didn't handle the ball so well against San Francisco a couple of weeks ago in the rainy weather here either. And I think they could use a little work there.
Saturday, 50% chance of snow. And Sunday, 20% chance of precipitation, 30 degrees, so that would be snow if we get any.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like mostly sunny. So if there's weather, it'll be from the day before, most likely.
Okay. All right. So more of a chance of precip on Saturday than Sunday.
On Saturday is the bigger chance now.
Right.
It's changed. The earlier in the week, it was Sunday, snow,
yep.
Almost, you know, like...
Right. Right.
Almost 100% chance, but
right.
Now they've moved it earlier.
Okay. Well, then I want you to take all this into consideration as you take your final shot here at the record book for, you know, this season anyway. Webradio@patriots.com, the email address, 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. John.Rook on Facebook, at JR Broadcaster, Twitter. Prediction Thursday. Russell Baxter, Pro Football Guru, will join us in the second hour, as he always does on Thursdays. And we'll run through the playoff scenarios, and we'll run through, you know, the games that certainly have meaning here in the final week of the regular season. Week 17. Where the hell has the regular season gone this year, by the way?
Man, I'm telling you.
Did it not sprint by?
Seriously.
It really did, didn't it?
I mean, I say that every year. Every year it does go by faster.
But it gets worse. It goes,
yeah.
It's because we get older.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's because we all get older.
Right.
You know, it goes by so much
absolutely
faster.
Absolutely right.
But this year it definitely was a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like yesterday was almost the bye week,
yep.
Quite honest, and the last month has been a blur.
I mean, I remember training camp. The Saints were here, and then we went to Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I remember those days as clear as if it were last week.
Right.
And here we are. We're going to be popping the champagne for New Year's pretty soon.
Hopefully you have reason to pop the champagne, big reason to pop the champagne. One of the other things that I wanted to talk about, and that kind of leads me into the next comment I have, in addition for your predictions, all right? Got Patriots predictions to talk about today. But looking ahead just a little bit to the new year, predict something about the New England Patriots for 2013. I want you to look into your own personal crystal ball, because this is technically, this is our last show for 2012. Next time we come to you, we will be in a new year.
Yep.
All right? So I want you to look back on 2012, and I want you to look ahead into 2013. Pull out your own personal crystal ball.
Okay.
And predict one thing you think will happen for the Patriots in 13. One thing that you think, that you just know in your heart of hearts, that is going to happen for New England. It could be positive. It could be negative. Could be a player personnel move. It could be a draft. It could be a Super Bowl. It could be whatever. But I want you, what you just know, what you just feel to your very core, what's going to happen in 2013 for New England. I want you to pick one thing and tell me what that one thing is. It's your chance to foresee the future here inside the Patriots playbook. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. John.Rook on Facebook, at JR Broadcaster, Twitter. So many different ways to get a hold of us here. I just can't get away from it all.
I'm trying to think of an answer.
Okay. All right. Well, Eric's going to think about it. All right, so while Eric is thinking about that, and while you know you are also thinking about that, I want you to make sure you fire off those emails along with your score predictions and everything. What concerns you, other than you know what, kind of what we just alluded to, whether or not the Dolphins really care to play this Sunday? What concerns you about this Miami team that you saw really just recently in regards to the Patriots for this Sunday? I mean, can Miami have an effect on this game, or is this game all about New England's want and desire?
Well, I mean, we saw Brian Hartline have a good day against this, against Tlaib and this secondary. That's kind of a concern. You have to worry about Devon Best, too. He's no slouch. Reggie Bush. Those are all good players. I mean, if they decide they want to show up and play, that could be a problem.
Hartline concerns me. Bush less so, but a little bit. Player that concerns me the most is Cameron Wake.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
He's always concerned me. I think he's turned out to be a very solid, if not borderline great player. And considering the struggles of the offensive line last week against Jacksonville, I just have to think that, you know, he could be in for a heyday if the Patriots don't, if they don't really pay attention to their duties. That one concerns me. By the way, before we take some calls here, what were your thoughts on the seven Patriot Pro Bowlers yesterday?
No real surprises.
I was mildly surprised
at
two additions. I was mildly surprised at Mankins and Gronkowski, and I'll tell you why. I don't think Logan Mankins has had his best season. Number one, I think this may have been a reputation pick more so than anything. Gronk has missed 5 weeks.
He's still the best tight end in football.
May very well be, but again, isn't a Pro Bowl a player supposed to be on what you've done this year? His numbers don't stack up because he's missed time.
He's still leading all tight ends in touchdowns, is he not?
Is he?
Yeah, I believe so.
All right, well then, in that case, I can understand how he could squeak in. I just didn't look at it, but when I saw his name on the list yesterday...
No, I mean, if this were week two... That he got hurt and he missed all this time?
Well, then you have to.
Yeah, but, I mean, he played the majority of the season.
I'm still mildly surprised. I realize he may very well be the best tight end.
He's a popular pick.
And he's a popular pick. But I wonder now, okay, I know because the fans do have some say here, I wonder now how much of this is popularity, a popular vote, as opposed to, you know, actual production on the field.
It's more popularity than production, I would say.
Well, and that's I think that's a problem. And that's why I tend to think that, you know, the fans kind of screw themselves in this instance because they lose their credibility. They vote popularity-wise rather than, you know, what it really should be. On the merit of the individual performance of that season. It's supposed to be a reward. I'm very much, you know, for an MVP... You know, a most valuable player type of person, or, you know, I really believe this player clearly needs to be head and shoulders above others at his position or others that he might be competing against, somebody that helps elevate the rest of his team. And I know this is not an MVP vote, but for someone to make the Pro Bowl, they have to be, numbers-wise, they have to have the numbers to back up They have to have the numbers to back up. Now, it's not as easy for someone like an offensive lineman.
Right. They don't get paid attention to nearly as much.
Correct.
So once you get in, you're pretty much set for the rest of your career if you're at a certain level, and Mankins has reached that level.
I think that's why, you know, frankly, I think offensive line should be picked out by the peers. I don't think the fans should have a say in that. Just because, you know, skill position is fine because it's easier.
And you can see,
it's easier for the uninitiated, quite frankly, to choose. Hey, this guy had more touchdown catches. Hey, this guy had more yards. Therefore, he belongs. He needs to go. That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
How about 5 Kansas City Chiefs getting in? A little bit of
a
surprise there?
A little bit, yeah.
What does that say about the coaching in Kansas City? I don't mean to bang on Romeo Crennel, but I'm just saying, what does this say about the coaching?
That there needs to be a change.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
There will be a change.
And I think that there probably will be. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Need your score predictions and need you to look into your crystal ball and give me one Patriots prediction in your estimation that will happen for 2013. Here's Bill in Connecticut. Bill, you're in the playbook.
How you doing, John? Great show.
Good, Bill. Thank you.
Well, the score, I'm going to keep it kind of tight because and it's going to lead into my next question because I'm not sure about the health of the team, but I'm going to go 28-17.
28-17 Patriots.
Yeah.
So okay. They barely cover.
But that could easily get skewed because if the offense is performing well in the first half, I think they're going to the defense of Miami is just going to go in the tank. But the reason for my call is I'm wondering about the health of the team. I mean, with so many of our players being beat up, like Hernandez and Gronk and McDonald and Spikes, could you give us a little update of how well they're managing their injuries and how soon or when can we expect us to be maybe not at full health, but playing better or getting close to being as healthy as possible? That would give us a better idea how well our team's going to play going into the playoffs.
What do you think, Keith?
I mean, that's like asking me to predict the weather in 2014. I mean, the injury news around here is guarded like nuclear secrets.
Yeah, I've been searching all over the place trying to get some information on anybody.
You can't
get any information on anybody.
You can't. It's not really possible with this team. All you can do is glean information based on what you see. And what we see is they are a banged up bunch as far as the number of guys on the injury report. There's like basically 20.
Yeah, the whole team.
It's basically a third of the roster is on the injury report. But going into the Jacksonville game, you know, you always have to cut or deactivate 7 guys for game day. 4 of the 7 that they deactivated were healthy scratches, which tells you that the guys who were active, though they were banged up, are still healthy enough to play a regular season game, which means if that were a playoff game, they would certainly be
in the game.
They would certainly be in the game, yeah.
Yeah.
As far as timetables for when certain guys are going to come back or whatever, that's impossible to say, but with a guy like Gronkowski, who I'm sure you're worried about, and I've said it since he got hurt, you should expect him for the playoffs whenever those
start.
Yeah,
actually, I'm not worried. That's the person I'm not worried about because I know he's going to be there for the playoffs. It's more or less how's Welker holding up with an ankle and how's Hernandez holding up with his ankle. And
well, you,
and
I mean,
Mike's just going to be big on the defense returning.
I mean, you've been watching the games, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you seen anything with Welker that's led you to believe that there's something wrong with him?
Not in running his routes, but man, looking at him going back to the huddle, he looks like he's in a ton of pain.
He does, yeah, and he's been like that for the last couple of months. He's played this whole season hurt, basically.
Okay.
But he's toughed it out, because that's just the kind of player he is. If it were that bad, he wouldn't be able to go out on the field.
Right, and I hope they don't send him back there on punt returns again.
Well, they have to.
Okay. They don't have any other choice.
Who,
they got no choice. Yeah. No choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's the only one they rely on. He's the only one that they trust to do that.
Didn't they have Woodhead back there at one point?
No.
Was that last season?
Kickoffs, I think.
Okay, not punt returns. Kickoff returns. Okay. So my prediction for 2013.
Yeah, go.
We get healthy, And it doesn't really matter where we play, because when this team's the offensive line, when I've seen this offensive line play as a good, solid unit, nobody can beat us. So I think we take it all the way into New Orleans.
Hmm. So you think this team's going to get healthy now, even without a bye week?
I think yes. I think we build momentum starting now. I think when Gronk comes back, it gives us a big boost offensively, which takes some pressure off the defense because we'll make teams one-dimensional, and then we start rolling from there.
I can't say I totally disagree with him.
Hmm.
I think a healthy Gronk will make a big difference.
With the running game and the passing game.
He's right.
I mean,
yep.
He just adds so much to the offense that a healthy Gronk is probably a good portion of your offense right there because of so many things we can do with him in the game.
Yeah, I agree, which is why I don't want him playing this weekend.
Well, that's my big problem then.
I'd rather he didn't either.
Yeah, well, I think that's something to be said for that.
I mean,
why are you
going to
rush him back?
You don't have to rush him back because, I mean, obviously we could use the run to set up the pass. If he gets his feet wet blocking a few plays and let Ridley spring for 10, 20 yards, that just makes things better going during the course of the game.
Now, here, just to go back to the injuries for a second, one of the indicators that a player is ready to play again is around here when he's hurt is that when he starts talking to the media again.
He's okay.
That generally means,
usually a sign.
Generally means he's going to play that particular week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have seen instances where that has been proven wrong. Patrick Chung is a case where I can think of specifically where he talked for about 2 weeks in a row and didn't play.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Gronk talked yesterday for the first time since the injury to the forearm that he broke.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think he's going to play.
I don't either.
But I think they decided, you know what, let's just get it over with. Let's get this story out of the way.
So that way it becomes a non-story from here on out. Yeah. I think that'll be a major surprise if he plays. I will be majorly surprised if he plays Sunday.
Last question, then I'll hang up and listen.
Yes, sir.
Can you give us any info or update on Spike's return?
Well, he was out at practice today. Yesterday was a walkthrough, but he was out there today in the Shells practice. As soon as they were done stretching, he went to the exercise bike, which he's been doing pretty much every practice for the last few weeks. So
I think he's been doing that for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's really not much of an update I can give you as far as that goes. But he's out there.
We kind of need him. I mean, he kills running games. Personally.
He's a presence that they could use. Definitely.
Yeah, plus I like seeing him knock a few people out every now and again.
you and a lot of other people, Bill. There's no question.
All right. Happy holidays, guys.
Bill, thank you very much. There's time for you at 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your thoughts on terms of what the Patriots will do against Miami, your Thursday prediction, and then you need to look into that crystal ball for 2013, and you need to tell me, Patriots-wise, what's going to happen? Pick one thing that you know in your heart of hearts that's going to happen to the New England Patriots or for the New England Patriots in 2013. Come on, Pats fans. You're full of all this knowledge. You know that you just know that it's going to happen for your guys. So now's the time for you to step up and let us know. And guess what? Who knows? If it happens, well, we might just absolutely say, you know what? It was Bill in Connecticut who called that one. You never know.
I've got mine.
Really?
Yeah.
So I don't have to take a commercial for you to do that.
I mean, if you want to, we can tease people and let them
this is what it's called. This is what is known as a broadcast teaser.
Mm.
Okay? Because Eric then will give his prediction coming up in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find
find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
As we roll along here on Patriots playbook, we need to find out your score predictions for Sunday. Tough week. to predict just because we just don't know how the Patriots are really going to play this. We can surmise how they're going to play it. We just don't know to be exact. And then, of course, you need to look into your crystal ball for 2013 and come up with a prediction for your New England Patriots for 2013 that you think will happen. And Eric Scalabrino says...
Wes Welker stays...
with the Patriots.
With the Patriots.
Okay. I've known for a while that you've been leaning toward that way. We talked about this, what, 2-3 weeks ago maybe, right?
Maybe not even that long ago.
Yeah, I still don't know. I'm hoping you're right that he does stay, but I still have my doubts. I just think that, you know, fiscally speaking, I don't see the Patriots shelling out $11.5 million for a one-year deal.
Really?
I just don't. No, I don't. Even though it would be easy to do. I think that, you know, they'll have to decide whether or not, you know, if we're going to bring him back for one more year, do we want one more year? I think a lot of it may have to do, quite honestly, with whether or not they win this year. If they win this year, and I said this yesterday.
Then maybe they say...
No, actually, I think maybe if they win this year, I think it may be the other way around.
I think
they might think that, you know what, we have a chance to win again before Tom Brady is done.
Okay.
And so maybe it makes more sense for us to keep a guy like Welker around if we win. If we don't win... I think it might be easier to let him go.
So what do you think? Do they win it or do they not?
My prediction for 2013 is that if the Patriots reach the Super Bowl, they will win.
So it sounds like you're not certain.
I'm not entirely certain they're going to get there. and I'm not hedging my bet. But my prediction is that if they get there, they will beat whoever survives the NFC. That includes Seattle. That includes San Francisco. Yes, that includes the hated New York Giants, if they even get into the Derby to begin with.
I don't think they will.
I'm not sure they are either. I don't think they are now. That includes Green Bay. I just think the Patriots, you know, with a relatively healthy Rob Gronkowski, as we've already had, you know, some discussion on today, I think it opens up so much more offensively for this team. I don't see a defense, and that includes San Francisco's, I don't see a defense that can slow it down. The only way the Patriots can be stopped is if they stop themselves. And we saw that against San Francisco. We damn near saw that last week.
Yeah.
Right? Against Jacksonville.
Yep.
In the faux loss. Yeah, FAUX, right?
Right.
You know, in the faux loss.
Yep.
And then I think that's the only way they lose this week to Miami. They stop themselves. I think there's very little that Miami can say or do. The Patriots have to, they must contribute to a loss. Now, I think that if you don't have the desire to get out there because there's really nothing to play for, I think that can be part of that. That's why I'm kind of hoping that there is an opportunity to, you know, play for something. Michael says the whole, here we go. He's just wrote this on, writ. good word, huh?
Well, writ large.
The Denver game is at the same time as the New England game, and the result of that game does make a difference. Technically, the team won't know where they are in the seeding until the end of both of their games and the Denver game, and that, I guess, is correct. Right?
Yeah, they won't know for sure. But if the Texans were to lose, the Patriots would know that a win would get them a bye.
Right.
At least.
All I'm saying is, though, is that I don't think there's a snowball's chance, and you know what, that Denver loses that game. I
Very
really
minuscule.
Don't.
Very minuscule.
I'd say, you know.
Anything can happen in this league.
On a
week,
scale of 1 to 10, -4. That's about where I'd put their chances.
0.5.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
but yeah, it's close to zero.
Right. But technically, Michael is correct. So in that regard, we should have a pretty good idea by around 7:30 or so Sunday night. Pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Of where they'll be or who they'll even be playing against.
Yep.
But I do think, though, that the Patriots' road to the Super Bowl is full of potholes, and that actually getting to the Super Bowl, should they get there, I think this year they get it done.
Wow.
Just because I think the offense
is... Too much for other teams.
Yeah, I think it's too much for... I haven't seen a team that yet that can stop it. San Francisco's vaunted defense did not. And San Francisco is thought to have the best defense in the NFL this year. Are they not?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it that Sunday night. Did you?
No.
Nope.
They didn't play terribly, but I didn't see anything that would tell.
I saw 28 fourth quarter points. You know, with the Patriots, I saw a focused Tom Brady. I saw a pissed off Tom Brady is what I saw.
Yeah.
And that tells me if he's, you know, PO'd like that, I don't think the Patriots, and I think he would be sufficiently PO'd going into the Super Bowl knowing, you know, what's happened the last two times they've played in it against the Giants. I think they realize now that, you know, I may not get back to this juncture again. Therefore, I'm not gonna waste any time here. I'm gonna get right after it. I'm gonna bear down, and I'm gonna chew on somebody's ear is what I'm gonna do. And I think that's what actually will get the Patriots over the hump.
I can't argue with you.
My prediction.
Can't argue with it.
What are your predictions? Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Let's see. Michael also says, the whole Pro Bowl is popularity. Players vote for their friends. Fans vote multiple times on multiple computers for the players that they like and the names that they know. And the game is just a high-scoring laugh, which is true. In 2013, the Patriots will trade for a cornerback. Their drafting in the backfield has been questionable, so they will go out and pick up a free agent. They will draft another running back, and they will spend a pick on another defensive tackle.
That's a lot of things to be sure of.
I don't think they draft a cornerback. I think there's a chance Aqib Talib comes back. How's that for another prediction?
That's a fair prediction. I don't think that precludes them from
taking
adding,
one?
From adding to that position.
Right. Or going out and picking up a veteran someplace. Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to see that, actually, because I still don't think that they're where they should be in that position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tim says, 38-16 Pats, regardless of the 1 p.m. games. If Bill is willing to send a message in a meaningless preseason game against Cincinnati Scrubs, you can bet he will send one now. And then a 2013 prediction, Welker lines up in a Patriot jersey in September. So somebody else agrees with you
okay. That
Welker is back next year. Shane says, 27-17 New England. In my prediction, the Patriots trade one of their draft picks.
That's easy. That's way too easy.
Kind of good.
That's not fair.
Yeah, but it's still kind of good anyway. It's not bad. I think he's trying to be a little clever there. That's all. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. Let's see. What else do we have here? John and Eric, greetings from Fargo, North Dakota, from Matt in Fargo, North Dakota. How is it going in Fargo today, Matt? What's the weather like in Fargo today? Are we below zero today? Probably not, right? He says, Patriots 27, Dolphins 13. I feel like the starters will come out at some point. I don't know when, but I would say they will trickle out over the course of the third quarter. A bye week would be amazing for this team. Health is a concern. I was cringing last week watching Talib run around holding his hip. Mm. Here's hoping for the best.
Yeah, that was awkward. That was difficult to watch. Because you knew he shouldn't have been out there.
Yeah, and he was out there. I know, right?
But it was more concerning that he had a setback. Because he played on that bad hip against San Francisco the week before and wasn't running around in so much agony. So something between the San Francisco game and Jacksonville went wrong for him. Because he looked like...
But he was out there in practice today.
Yeah.
Hmm. You think it's still possible that he would play but not start?
Yeah. This week, yeah.
What does that really accomplish? I mean, he's playing, right? If he can play, why wouldn't he start?
To try to preserve, minimize the amount of contact he gets or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean...
Because from a numbers perspective...
It only takes one hit to knock you out.
Yeah, but from a sheer numbers perspective, they don't have that many bodies back there. Somebody's got to suit up.
Well, that's why I think he plays. If he can play, he plays. I mean, hasn't Bill Belichick always said, if the player can play, he goes? The player is the only person that holds himself out. You know, the medical staff. And the reason that Gronkowski hasn't played is because the medical staff has not cleared him.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the medical staff has cleared Talib. Otherwise, we should be led to believe that he wouldn't be available, right? Mm-hmm. So the medical staff's probably thinking, well, he can't hurt himself any worse at the very least.
But he did something to hurt it. Because he was not the same player against Jacksonville that he was against San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
playing on that bad hip. Something went wrong.
Okay. Chris in Seattle says, game prediction, Miami 17, New England 23.
Oh.
I'm with you.
He
says a 10-point spread is too big. There's no way the Dolphins mail this one in. And then his 2013 Pats prediction, Pats take a DB in the first round of the draft.
A DB?
A defensive back.
Not a CB. A DB could be a safety.
Right. Could be.
Okay.
Could be.
Better be a damn good safety.
It would have to be a very good
safety.
I'd
rather have a good corner.
Well, I think we all realize that that would be the most likely pick if you find a pick, if you find a corner that, you know, is worth a first-round pick, depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know. Are there any good? I haven't really looked at it very closely yet. Have you started looking at it?
Not at all.
College corners?
Yeah. No time.
I know. There's just really not any time to look at it yet, right?
No.
I'm sure that'll be something you guys will discuss in the off-season version of PFW, right?
That's all we'll do until the end of April.
Is look at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk about it.
Is that,
study it. Read about it.
Is that, at least at this very early stage, is that you feel like still the number one need overall of this team is help in the secondary?
Yes. With another outside linebacker still on my list.
Not so much a tackle or an end, but an outside linebacker?
Yeah, I think pretty much the same positions that I felt about last year I think still need to be addressed.
Wide receiver?
A wide receiver, a pass rusher, and a defensive back. A cornerback specifically.
Okay. Still the same needs?
Still the same needs. I mean, we address some of them, obviously, but I'd like more. I'd like better.
What about running back or quarterback?
Well, running back, I think I'm happy with what they have.
Even with the fumbleitis?
I don't look at it as fumbleitis. How many fumbles has he had?
Four.
That's not fumbleitis to me.
Okay.
That's average.
Just seems like it, though.
People
it's,
get yeah.
Seems like a lot more.
It seems like it. People get overreact because Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis never fumbled when he was here. That's an aberration. Human beings make mistakes. Running backs fumble the ball occasionally, and four times is occasionally.
No, damn it. We want perfection
I know.
Here.
People are just insane with this criticism of Stephen Ridley and his fumbling issues. Even last year, he fumbled twice at the end of the year. Ooh, he's got a problem holding onto the ball. No, he doesn't. He fumbled twice. All the carries he had all year. Big deal. Yes, they were in, you know, they were untimely maybe, but that's not a recurring problem.
What about QB?
If you can get a good one early, yes. Because Ryan Mallett's not the answer.
Tim Tebow.
Well, they might sign him, but if you can get one in the draft, who can?
All signs point to him going to Jacksonville, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Just because that's where he's from, and that would be a feel-good story. They have nothing else to do, and you know, and he'd probably be given a chance to start there. Because they don't like Blaine Gabbert anyway, right?
No.
So... I got an idea.
Yeah.
How about pick up Chad Henne and make him Brady's backup?
Just so he doesn't have big games against
so
us again?
So he doesn't torch you for 400 yards again.
Well, I wouldn't be averse to taking a really good quarterback. But not at the expense of the other things. I mean, if you have a chance to get somebody like Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin, okay. Fine.
But that quarterback doesn't exist in this draft, does it?
I don't know. I haven't.
I don't think so. I'm of the impression that I don't think that exists. There's no Oliver Luck. There's no Robert Griffin III that's out there this year.
Andrew Luck.
What did I say? Oliver. That's his dad. Oh, geez. I just showed my age, didn't I?
Yep.
Houston Oilers.
Yeah,
see, that's a stupid Houston Oilers
that's
song.
Right.
Oh, my God. You're singing the Miami Dolphins theme song over here, fight song. And it's not even Miami's original fight song, damn it, Dolphin fans. And you know it.
That's
you
right.
know it.
They
it's the Houston
it.
Oilers fight song that you stole from them.
They did.
And you stole it from them before they were even the Tennessee Titans. You took it from them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. While they were still in Houston.
While they were still in Houston, you took the fight song.
It's like the Saints and the Bengals fighting over the Who Dats.
That's right. That's right. The Bengals did there's no question the Bengals stole that. That's ridiculous.
All this theft. Come up with your own
stuff. Yeah, really. Come up with your own stuff, Lord. All right, Josh in Charlottesville says, I believe that Miami will come out and play this game hard. As a team, I think they would all like to go into the offseason with the win over the Patriots. It could boil down to pride or job security, but it's sure as hell they will come out and play. And I happen to agree with Josh. One thing that really concerns me about them is Cameron Wake's ability to get to Brady, especially with the way our offensive line has been playing this season. Going into the playoffs, the last thing we need is for him to take a few vicious sacks from a team and a guy that is about to be slipping into irrelevancy. We need to win this game, but staying healthy is a must. Other than that, I don't foresee too many problems out of Miami as long as the Pats come in fired up and ready to go to work. We have far more to worry about than from them once Tannehill develops as a quarterback in the future. From what I have seen thus far, he should have a bright future in the league. My crystal ball hasn't been functioning properly in the past few weeks, but I predict the Pats will have a special teams touchdown in the first half and that they will win the game 35-20. I always love the show. God bless. Thank you, Josh. What are your thoughts? It's not quite a prediction for 2013,
no,
but he does say touchdown in the first half from the special teams.
Yeah. I mean, that's going out on a limb, predicting that. I'd feel more comfortable about that if Julian Edelman were still returning punts, because I think that's their best chance of getting a special teams touchdown, unless they, you know, force a fumble or something. Or
you don't think Welker could break one?
I don't have as much faith in him doing that as I did Edelman. Edelman, I thought, at any time could break one. I don't get that feeling with Welker.
Okay. Oh, okay. Here's Josh. Just sends this. He goes, sorry, gentlemen. Sometimes I have to send these off so fast I miss things. My prediction for next year is, are you ready? They will finally go after a big, fast, physical receiver in the 2013 draft.
Okay.
Hmm. Okay. Receiver.
He's talking first round then.
Well, I'm assuming that's what he means there, because they could go after a big, fast, physical receiver
in any round,
but big, fast, physical receivers usually aren't around.
Yeah.
You're going to have to take one and probably one or two at the latest.
Yeah.
Because if they're big, fast, and physical, everybody wants him.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants him. All right. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate that. One more I want to jump in here. Here's Juvenile, who says, John and Eric, always enjoy listening to you guys. Thank you. He says, my prediction, in his best B.A. Baraka's voice.
Oh.
Pain. Of course, I'm mixing.
Mr. T.
Yeah, Mr. Lang. T voice. Yeah, Clubber Lang voice. Yeah. Right?
Prediction.
Pain. Pats 31, Dolphins 13. I think the coaches want to get into the playoffs on a strong note, so everyone plays until the last series. We have the ball. Mallett throws a pick, but Miami fumbles it. Game over. That's a good prediction, actually.
Yeah.
He says, my prediction for 2013 is undefeated season.
Oh, boy.
Welcher stays.
Oh, Jesus.
More help for the secondary. Watch out rest of league. He says, go Colts. Welcher.
Yeah. Go Colts this week if you're a Pats fan.
You have to. Have to root for the Colts. Have to think that maybe, just maybe, they've got an opportunity here. I do believe, and we talked a little about this yesterday before you took off, but I do believe that the Colts will play for, you know, Coach Pagano.
I think
they'll come after him pretty good, and I give them certainly an excellent chance to knock off Houston.
Yeah.
But you still got to go out and tackle and block, and, you know, even though there's really nothing for them to play for. And Houston clearly has more to play for and has more on the line than Indianapolis does in this game.
They do.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, there's still time for you to get in your predictions. There's still time for you to get in your score predictions for this Sunday's game against Miami. Once again, I get the overall feeling that everybody's kind of, you know, fat and sassy here, and they feel like the Patriots are going to win it in a walkover. And I have no idea why many of these people, why many of our fans feel this way, especially when you saw what happened last Sunday. I mean, I realize it was a bad team, and the Patriots, you know, beat a team that's not very good, but I think you realize that Miami is not the caliber of Jacksonville. Miami is better than Jacksonville. That's what concerns me the most. And for everyone who loves to predict, and for everyone who loves to say, oh, the Patriots should do this, where are your 2013 predictions? I've asked you to look in your crystal ball. Tell me one thing in 2013 you just know the Patriots are going to do. Webradio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. So something else from practice that we might have missed today?
Well, I told you about Spikes.
Yes.
Riding the bike.
Yes.
Marquise Cole was the only guy who wasn't there.
Okay.
He had a finger injury on the report yesterday. Don't know if that was why he wasn't there, but he wasn't there.
All right.
Everybody else was, and taking part, doing stuff early on. We'll know more at 4 o'clock.
Business as usual.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah. You got one more thing we got to do, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Good lip syncing by John Rook just there. You couldn't see that off
there. Word of the Day. Yes.
Absolutely nothing to do with anything we're talking about today.
I like these.
But it's a word I just recently learned, so I thought I would share it.
Really?
Yeah.
You just I thought you knew every word in the English language.
No, I'm getting there, though.
You're getting closer?
I'm closer than I was before.
All right, do share.
Superannuate. Super, common spelling, A-N-N-U-A-T-E. Superannuate.
Isn't he cousin to Superman?
Oh! No, he's
Barunch. Okay.
Means, there are two meanings.
Thank you.
Two meanings. First one is to allow to retire on a pension either through age or infirmity.
Okay.
Allow to retire with pension.
With pension.
Due to age or infirmity.
So if you superannuate someone, you allow them to...
Yes.
Okay.
And they will be taking... They have, you know,
okay,
benefits thereafter.
All right.
The other meaning, the secondary meaning, is to render obsolete. To render something
obsolete. So it's a little bit of a different interpretation of the word annuate.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's two pretty varied descriptions for one word.
Yeah.
See, no wonder the English language sucks. I don't know.
Look, my orchestra just died.
Know,
they were just like,
right,
you know what?
They're like,
oh,
I can't go anymore with
this. They're like some of the starters in week 17. They're just like, all right.
We're done.
Yeah.
We're out.
Yeah. We played early on. We got the notes.
They play right up
together,
until the last second.
And then that's it.
And then when the union clock
that's
goes
right.
off, that's it. I'm not punching
done.
It anymore.
Right. They're allowed to
walk
out with their pension because of age and infirmity.
They just superannuated.
I'll
love
see
it.
You Sunday.
All right, see you Sunday. All right, hour number two in the playbook featuring pro football guru Russell Baxter coming up in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need.
to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
Hard to believe we're in week 17, the final week of the NFL regular season. It has flown by, as we talked about in the opening hour of Patriots Playbook today with Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly earlier, and now we welcome into the program our one and only Russell S. Baxter, profootballguru.com, bleacherreport.com, coldhardfootballfacts.com. Did I miss any .coms, Russell?
MerryChristmas.com.
MerryChristmas.com as well.
HappyNewYear.com.
HappyNewYear.com. All of the above.
Yes.
Hasn't the season gone by a little quicker than you thought it, I mean, normally does?
Is
it
just they all go by fast.
Yeah.
I say it all the time. The people I worked with over the years, I couldn't wait for it to get here. And the next time you talk to me, it'll be week 8.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it'll be week 16.
Yeah.
Then you'll be asking me what the draft order is.
Yeah.
Okay?
What
but seriously, because it's such a routine sport. We all kind of, and our routine was a little different this year with Thursday night games.
True, true.
But, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, and, you know, you've been in this business longer than I have. You do, during a football season, you do certain things on certain days.
You do.
As far as preparation, just like the players do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a player. I'm not saying I'm a player. But as far as preparing for it and getting your notes ready and your stats ready and your different things that you do, it becomes a cycle.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's week seven. To me, they all go by fast. I'm trying to get the NFL to work on a 52-week schedule.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that's just my love and passion for the game, as you well know, and so on. But
we've come closer to it. But
you know, this last week now gets interesting every year, because I think one of the decisions the league made a couple of years ago was to have divisional games.
Right.
The entire week 16 slate, and all the games are played on one day.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Saturday game, there's no Monday game, there's no Thursday game. So everything comes to a nice, neat package on Sunday, culminating with which should be a phenomenal Sunday night game.
Yeah, and we certainly know that the Patriots may have to even go a little bit of extra time in order to find out where they're going to be. So that kind of leads me into how we start this whole thing off. There's so many games that have so much riding on it that we really don't know where we're going to be next week at this time. And so I wonder, in your estimation and based on your expertise, how this affects teams' preparations and whether or not they need to put pedal to the metal and go after and get this win, as opposed to backing off a bit if they think they're not going to get a chance to play with a week off next week.
I this is just my own observations. Well, obviously, that's why you had me on.
Yes.
taking a couple of weeks off doesn't really hurt a football team, I think, because of the practice routine. Now, I say that with 2 weeks, but mm-hmm. when you get into 3 weeks, I think it always affects a team.
Right.
And you can go back over the years and see it. And who am I to criticize an organization that went to the playoffs 9 years in a row? But watching the Colts not worry about perfection and more worry about resting players, not just the last week of the season, but maybe the last 2 weeks of the season, and then getting a bye, and then all of a sudden you're not playing for 3 or 4 weeks. To me, it's no coincidence that Peyton Manning and the Colts' lone Super Bowl win during that stretch came the year that they were the number 3 seed and had to play the extra wild card game.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes to my second premise, is regardless of what you have on the line this week, win. Try to win. Because you never know, as a playoff team, just when or if you could be hosting the AFC or NFC title game, depending on who bites the dust the early rounds of the playoffs. As you well know, those Colts were 3. That year in 2006.
Yeah.
They hosted the number 4 New England Patriots.
Yes.
That's because New England and Indianapolis bumped off San Diego and Baltimore, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, the Arizona Cardinals, at a 9-7 record and the number 4 seed. Now, 9-7 and going to Super Bowl, that's not a big deal because the Giants did it last year. The Giants didn't host the NFC title game in 2008 like the Arizona Cardinals did against the 6 seed Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
So, win. Get the highest seed possible. This I hear, I don't know, it's not players you hear it from. It's fans, I think, and some media as well. Well, we want to play these guys in the first round. Who does it matter who you're playing? Okay? Just get in and put yourself in the most advantageous way possible. And, I can remember the year that I still say is the best Patriots team was 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you'll remember this game, John. I believe they were coming off, and if it wasn't that week, it was the previous 2 weeks. They had lost a strange game to the Miami Dolphins on a Monday night.
Yep.
When Brady threw a bunch of picks.
Yep.
And the final week, I know this part, the final week of the season, they were hosting the San Francisco 49ers. And the Niners were not great that year. But I believe the Patriots had a long streak that season of always scoring first.
Yes.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And I believe the Niners jumped out to a 7-0 lead in that game at Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, Coach Belichick, even though they were locked into the 2 because Pittsburgh was going to be the 1.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember right, Bill Belichick played his starters because they did not play well in the first half of that game well into the third quarter.
Correct. Yeah,
he
you're right.
A sharp football team.
Yeah.
And he got a sharp football team that handled the Colts and did a great job against the Steelers in Pittsburgh, and then obviously beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So just don't break routine. Don't get out of rhythm. I know health is important, but health is important for the injured players, not so much the players that just need a little time. I hope I'm making sense. Rhythm is very important in this game, and we see this trend of teams getting hot. Even when they're not hot, they seem to get hot. You know, so many people think that you these teams that have won the Super Bowl in recent years have come into the playoffs with these long, sustained winning streaks.
Yeah.
But it's just the opposite. The Giants won their last two games and won the Super Bowl. The Packers won their last two games and won the Super Bowl. The Saints in 09, they lost their last three games and won the Super Bowl. The Steelers had a one-game winning streak going into 2008. The Giants lost to the Patriots the last regular season game of the year.
And won the Super Bowl.
Colts, 2 weeks before they went on the playoff run, were getting, lost to the Houston Texans. So there's been these 1-2 and losing streaks going into the playoffs. You never know when the switch turns on and the team gets hot. But bottom line is, if you plan on taking 3 or 4 weeks to kind of clear your head, you'll be clearing your locker.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so where does this, I mean, what should we really think of then? What should teams consider when it comes to, you know, stepping on the gas pedal or letting off on the accelerator when it comes to the playoffs, knowing, you know, if you, I think, the answer to this is there's really no definitive answer, because if a team is banged up, you might really want to play and get that extra week off, and you might want to treat yourself differently. But if your team is struggling a bit toward the end of the year, and I think the Patriots might be leaning that direction a little bit more so than needing to get healthy, because I think we all anticipate the one injury that the Patriots have that needs to heal, that they really need back in the field, is Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
And while he's been practicing the last couple of weeks, he has not yet returned to game duty. I'd be a little surprised if he actually did this week.
Right.
So I think it is better that you're playing better at this time of year, more so than playing to rest your guys. What do you think?
I agree. I just, you know, the idea that, listen, we had a very unusual circumstance last year, and I don't want to mix the two things, but you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Green Bay Packers obviously were the best team in the league in the regular season last year with that 15-1 record. They also had before the playoffs, when a tragic situation with offensive coordinator Joe Philbin, who is now the Miami Dolphins head coach,
mm-hmm.
Whose son passed away. And if you remember the Week 17 game that they played at Lambeau Field against the Detroit Lions, Aaron Rodgers sat out that game, and Matt Flynn started. Now, Matt Flynn did so well in that game, he wound up getting a nice free agent contract to Seattle.
Sure did.
But it took Aaron Rodgers off the field for 3 weeks. Okay, and whether you want to admit it or not, last year the Packers were not very balanced. They were an Aaron Rodgers-driven team,
mm-hmm.
With a defense that was suspect, to say the least. They gave up the most yards in NFL history. Now, you take that inactivity and you combine it with tragic circumstances like was the case last year, okay? And, you know, do you remember Aaron Rodgers saying he had never been to a funeral before?
Yeah, I do.
And a man in his mid-20s had never been to a funeral. And that's got to be a awful thing to experience for the first time with somebody obviously you respect and probably love, and with one of your coaches, and have to deal that with his young son. So you combine that with the Packers' inactivity, and you remember how they played against the Giants. They played poorly.
Mm-hmm.
They played very poorly, as a matter of fact. And Aaron Rodgers had one of his worst games of the season. And I'm not blaming that on the Philbin situation. I'm more citing that in terms of the 3 weeks. Okay, I don't want people to confuse what I'm saying. I'm not saying the Green Bay Packers lost a game because of a tragedy.
Right,
okay,
right.
What I'm saying is that your quarterback sat for a long time, and I'll be curious to see how the Packers handle the situation this time around. But they're also in a different situation. They need to win, pretty much, and Minnesota obviously needs to win as well. But the Packers want to keep the two. So they at least get 1 week off. And again, 2 weeks is different. Teams are now used to having 2 weeks off during the regular season,
mm-hmm.
during their off weeks. No team is used to having 3 weeks off during the season. And I think that's probably the bigger point I'm making.
Okay. Makes sense to me. Let's get into then some of these games that have got everything hanging on them, and then we'll just kind of like skim over, I think, those, some of the ones that don't have much on them. But the first one I want to start with is in the AFC with the Ravens playing at the Bengals. Now, obviously, Cincinnati has nothing left to really, you know, jump into, because they're locked into the sixth spot. It's entirely possible that if things go according to the form chart, that it'll be Cincinnati here 1 week from this Sunday or Saturday, as the case may be. But for the Ravens, there's still a little bit something to play for here, is there not?
Well, there's no question about it. They still can move up a little.
Yes.
It's very interesting. You know, these teams open the season against each other on a Monday night, and as you know, Baltimore blasted them 44-13.
Correct.
And, then Cincinnati went through its three-game winning streak and then a four-game losing streak and then all of a sudden caught fire. The Bengals, I believe, in the last 3 weeks have given up 17 sacks. And yet have they lost the Dallas game, but the last 2 weeks they gave up six sacks to the Eagles and the Steelers and still managed to win those games with very, very little offensive support.
Mm-hmm.
Last week against Pittsburgh, their offense never scored a touchdown. It was the Leon Hall interception return. So a lot of different ways to skin a cat. No pun intended, as a matter of fact.
Right.
But if I'm the Cincinnati Bengals, I want to keep that running game cranked up. I want to get that pass protection solidified. I think their defense is playing very, very well right now, and I think they want to maintain that. And by the way, they haven't beaten the Baltimore Ravens in a little bit. It's been a couple of years. And I think they would love to go in with a 10-win season rather than just 9 wins.
They also haven't played well at home this year.
No. And more importantly than anything else, they haven't won a playoff game since 1990. The last time the Cincinnati Bengals won a postseason game, John, they defeated the Houston Oilers in the wild card game in 1990. A week later, they lost to the Oakland Raiders in what became Bo Jackson's final game when he injured his hip at the Coliseum. But 1990, we talk about a lot of teams not making the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff game since 1990. That is an awful long time. And at very least, I think they would like to tune up and be ready for that. Last year, they go in, they played a, remember, last year they went to Houston and had to deal with a team that never played a playoff game in its franchise's history. And they wound up losing badly when J.J. Watt, among other things, returned an interception for a touchdown.
Sure.
So this is a wiser, craftier Cincinnati team that could be, you know, could, you never know which one of these teams is going to catch fire. But I think Cincinnati gets this one. I think there was a big sigh of relief for the Ravens snapping that three-game losing streak last week. And I don't expect the Ravens to have 200-yard rushers against the Bengals.
The game that clearly Patriots fans will be watching more so maybe even than their own would be Houston at Indianapolis. Houston has everything to play for here. The Colts have, you know, like Cincinnati, nothing. They're locked in at the 5 spot in the AFC. However, Chuck Pagano's returning to the sideline. Is that enough to carry them and convince them to go after a W?
Boy, this is one of the most intriguing spots of the season.
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of them.
Sure.
The Houston Texans have never beaten the Colts in Indianapolis. They are 0-10. Now, that includes last year. I know the Texans quarterback was C.J. Yates, and I know the Colts quarterback was Dan Orlovsky. And even on a Thursday night with Houston having things to play for, they did not beat the Colts last year in Indy. I will say the Texans have done a good job of erasing a lot of those bugaboos this year. They beat Peyton Manning on the road for the first time in Denver. They beat the Ravens for the first time in franchise history, the Jets for the first time in franchise history. They've knocked off a lot of those things. But for those, well, you'll know this better than anyone, John. It was suggested about 2 or 3 weeks ago by somebody that the Houston Texans-New England Patriots game was the biggest game in Texans franchise history.
Yep.
Dare I say, this might be a little bigger.
Certainly could be, because it means the difference between possibly being the number one seed in the AFC and not getting a bye.
Well, here's what it reminds me of. Think about it this way. For the most part, the Houston Texans have been the number one seed in the AFC all year. They have been the front runner. They were the last team in the NFL to lose, if I remember correctly. Now, that doesn't sound right. No, that doesn't sound right. No, Atlanta was. I'm sorry. The last team, I think, in the AFC to lose was Houston. They beat Denver in Denver. They beat Baltimore at home. And then they ran to New England a couple of weeks ago and got thrashed. And last week they got kind of thrashed, too, by Minnesota. My point is, it's like running a 100-yard dash, and at the 95-yard mark you get a cramp.
Right.
So for the Houston Texans to be the one most of the year and suddenly fall to the 3, I think the mental and emotional letdown would be enormous.
I think it would be, too.
And to squander it. To absolutely squander it. It's like I said, be the front. It'd be, in some ways, being like the Packers last year, being a 15-1 football team and not even winning a playoff game.
Right. Right. Well, the bottom line here is that Houston won a couple of weeks ago, 29-17 at home. And then the Colts struggled to beat Kansas City last Sunday. So I'm of the opinion that the Colts probably have more to play for here than just Chuck Pagano. And I think that actually at home might end up being the Patriots' best weapon here against against Houston, because the Colts probably want to try to get back into some kind of a rhythm.
You know what's the funny thing about our world of professional football now? So you're going to have, in essence, New England rooting for Indianapolis, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you're also going to have Peyton Manning rooting for Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just think about that, how funny that really is. That one of the rivalries of the last decade or so has been the Colts and Patriots. And, of course, here's Peyton Manning, who just left the franchise. And both of them are now rooting for the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, that's because, you know, loyalty only lasts so long. You're loyal to your laundry. You're loyal to the team that covers your paycheck right now. And
no doubt. It's just the funny. It's like I say all the time. The NFL is the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I mean, all the different things. But who would ever just thought that? And by the way, just a little side note that I threw out this week. We should not be surprised if the Colts went from 2 wins to 8 to 10 wins in one season. Since, I believe it's in NFL history, there have been 14 times that a team has increased its win total, John, at least 8 games from one season to the other.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. This is the fourth time the Colts have done it.
Wow. So they're experts at this.
They had a 10-game improvement in Peyton Manning's first and second year.
Mm-hmm.
You will remember the 2-12 Baltimore Colts and Ted Marchibroda's 10-4 Baltimore Colts in 1975,
mm-hmm.
when they won the first of those three AFC East titles. And then I want to say there was a, what version was it? 91, I believe the Colts were 1-15, and in 92 they were 9-7, another right. 8-game improvement.
8-game improvement, right.
So be it Baltimore, Indianapolis, they had this thing about digging themselves a hole the year before and suddenly surging out of it. So 14 times in NFL history, and they own 4 of them, I'd say they have it down pat.
They have learned how to do it. All right, so the Colts and Texans clearly is a game that the Patriots and Patriots fans will be watching. I do think that the Colts have an opportunity here to make things a heck of a lot easier on New England. Short of actually saying the Colts will win, I'll just put it this way. I think that, I'll just go out and say it. The Colts will win this game. I think it will be up to the Patriots to take care of their own business here at home in order to get that bye. Now, I'm also of the opinion, I'm not sure right now that, you know, the bye week is something the Patriots really need, considering the way that they've played 2 out of the last 3 weeks, especially mm-hmm. the last 2 weeks back-to-back.
Right.
Because I've been getting hammered here for saying yesterday that, you know, this is 3 losses in a row if they lose to Miami, and everybody's like, well, they beat Jacksonville. And I'm like, that felt like a loss. And to every player in that locker room last week, it felt like a loss. And I think this team is incumbent upon itself to try to play better this week. And so maybe... And we've seen, you know, what is it now, Russell? You would know this. 5 of the last 7 Super Bowl winners have come from wild card weekend?
Not winners.
Well, but 5 of the last, yeah, well.
How many? 5 of the last 7. I see what you mean, from wild card weekend.
From wild card weekend have won the Super Bowl, right?
That sounds about right, because you know what you learn every year now?
What?
No longer takes 19 games to win the Super Bowl. It takes 20.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, more times than not, that's what happens. I mean... You know, since free agency began, we've only ever had 2 times where both number one seeds reached the Super Bowl. That was 93, the Bills and the Cowboys, which was the rematch.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 years ago, the Colts and the Saints. So we had that long drought of both number ones not reaching it. Maybe one, maybe the other, maybe neither. But as you also well know, last 6 years, John... All 6 seeds, a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5, and a 6.
Have won. Have made it,
won
right?
Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, so that's kind of why I think, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing if the Patriots are stuck playing on wild card weekend if you're looking at it strictly from a momentum point of view.
Well, it's also not a bad thing for a team like the Patriots because they're an experienced team, an experienced franchise. They know how to handle this. They have done this before. They had to play an extra game in 06. They had to play an extra game in 09. Now, I know they lost in the first round to the Ravens, but they still were in the wild card round. In 06, they beat the Jets, and then they beat the Chargers and got to the AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So going this route is not unusual for them. And as we, like you just mentioned, you know, it's almost like teams get into better groove. I mean, the The Giants were not a wild card, but they were a 9-7 team. The Packers were a wild card. These teams, you know, you talk about Arizona in 08, they were a 4 seed. They had to play the 20 games.
Right.
The Giants, obviously, in 2007, the Colts who won it in 06 against the Bears. The Steelers in 05, they won 3 road playoff games. I mean, so you go on and on and on and on. It's so much different than it has been. And, least I worry about teams like, or even players like a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady or some of these other experienced quarterbacks. The thing that's intriguing about the Houston Texans, and I'll throw this one out, and I'm sure you want to go on, is even though they were in the playoffs last year, and I know it's all not all about one guy, Matt Schaub has never started a playoff game. That was T.J. Yates last year.
Sure was. Sure was. Got that to shake off as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Based on a scale of 1 to 10, what chance does Kansas City have of knocking off Denver?
-3?
-3. Ha! I said -4 earlier.
I don't want to get that mixed up with the line. Yeah, and you know what's so funny is, if you remember last year, Kansas City went into Denver and beat Tim Tebow and the Broncos the final week of the season.
Yeah, I think I do remember that, yeah.
Helped solidify Romeo Crennel's job.
Yeah, right.
And unfortunately, since that game, they've won twice.
That's correct.
And, of course, Denver hasn't lost a game in the division. They've won 10 in a row. But you know what's funny about this series? I don't know why this is. Don't be shocked that this is a low-scoring game. The last 4 times these teams have played, regardless of who the quarterback or anybody was, combined 79 points. In 4 games by both teams.
Wow.
There's a 7-3, there's a 17-10, there's a 17-9, there's a 10-6. I mean, I can't explain. I remember this year when they were coming in, I threw out that stat for the last 3 games, and someone said, well, that ought to change this year, and look what happened.
Yeah.
You know, it turned out to be 17-9.
Right.
But that 17-9 is also an indicator of what Denver has become, because Denver has become a very, very good defensive team. And that's the thing that I think people miss a little bit, because we are focused, obviously, on Peyton Manning. We are not focused on the team, by the way, who leads the league in sacks right now with 48.
Wait a second. Say that again?
We are focused so much on Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We are not focused on the team that leads the league in sacks
right now.
By the way, ranked 3rd in the league in defense and 3rd against the run.
And that's Kansas City.
No, that's Denver.
Wait a second. All right, well, then I'm totally misunderstanding you here. My apologies.
In other words, what I'm saying is people are so focused on the fact, John, that this is just a Peyton Manning football team.
All right, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And this has become an overall very good football team.
Yeah, more of an overall.
My apologies. I got to work on my delivery.
No. Just more of an overall Denver team this year, more so than Peyton just carrying him on his shoulders. I get it.
I mean, those are the Peyton Manning teams. I don't want to say the front end of his career in Indianapolis, because they had the Edgerrin Jameses, although they never really had really good defenses in Indianapolis. I know they had the one great postseason defensive-wise, even though the Patriots scored 34 points on them. This is arguably the best defense that Peyton's played with. Okay,
I could make that case, sure. Yeah.
You could make that case.
Yeah.
And as of late, you're getting a lot of support from Sean Moreno.
Right.
So they become a very, very balanced football team, and closer to what we saw when Peyton was successful. Those last 3 years that Peyton was on the field, he was a one-man show offensively. There was no running game whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got a team that they get the lead, they can rush the passer, that's similar, but they can also kill clock with the great. Remember a couple weeks ago, Sean Moreno, not known for his staying healthy during his short career, 32 carries in a game. I mean, and followed it up with 22 the week after. So they're getting it done a lot of different ways in Denver. The 10-game winning streak, I know people always want to look at the opponents, but the last time I checked, the Broncos did qualify for the NFL playoffs and will not be in the BCS tournament.
Yeah, that's correct. All right, some then in the NFC that we need to look at. The game that it stands out, you know, there are 2 games that really stand out to me. Clearly, the first one has to be Cowboys at Redskins Sunday night, and the winner is going to win the NFC East. So that almost renders last week's loss by the Cowboys moot, because they still have a chance to win the division title if they beat Washington straight up. What's wrong with that picture?
Oh, no, but anytime you can get the word moot in, I'm very good with it. It just reminds me of Young Frankenstein. So,
Now you're showing your age.
Okay, it's still one of the best comedies ever. You know, this is really interesting because I've heard so much. By the way, I've heard a stat all week, and I'm sure you've heard it too. Okay, I'm not trying to, you know, the Cowboys are 2-10 in their regular season finales going back to 2000. I'm sure you've heard that.
I know that they have struggled mightily, yes.
Just so people know, the Cowboys are 2-1 in their last three season finales.
Yeah, just depends on your perspective of the picture.
Right, and by the way, the Redskins are 0-4 in their last four season finales.
Wow, see, now that one I didn't know.
So, what do any of these mean? I don't know. But, I mean, how far do you want to go back with Dallas, which has changed, what, three or four head coaches since 2000? And teams change all the time, but let's not build. I mean, I heard this was the pinnacle game for Tony Romo, just like the one was 3 years ago when he beat the Eagles in the last game of the season and then won a playoff game. How many pinnacle games are you going to have?
Right.
Okay? I mean, I understand Tony Romo is the Cowboys' starting quarterback, but he is not the commissioner of the league. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It can't all be his fault. And listen, their defense couldn't get to Drew Brees last week. I know DeMarcus Ware got hurt, but he threw two touchdown passes in the last 3.5 minutes, send that game into overtime.
Right.
He's playing pretty well. And both of these defenses have holes, but somehow I trust Dallas's defense a little more because I think they have more playmakers on defense, even though London Fletcher's had a phenomenal 4 or 5 weeks.
Yes, he has.
I don't know, and Washington's run the ball on everybody this year. But here is one of the odder stats that you will hear. Talk about home field disadvantage. The Dallas Cowboys have committed 26 turnovers this year, John.
Mm-hmm.
20 at home.
Wow.
6 on the road.
That's amazing. That's an amazing stat.
Now, speaking of turnovers, one of my favorite stats deals with the Redskins, whose quarterbacks this year, two rookies, by the way, as we know, Kirk Cousins and that Robert Griffin, the third guy who got named to the Pro Bowl yesterday.
Right.
15 games, 10 turnovers by your rookie quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
That's outstanding.
Considering last year, your veteran quarterbacks, Rex Grossman and John Beck,
mm-hmm.
had 30 turnovers.
Right.
So the Redskins in 1 year have gone from minus 14 to plus 14 in the turnover differential department.
And that's why they're in the shape that they're in, you know, at least with a chance to get in.
Absolutely. They have done a great job taking care of the football. They now have the fewest turnovers in the league with 14. Last year, they had two or more turnovers in 14 games.
Mm-hmm.
So they have really upped it. But to me, the spot seems like it's right for Dallas. And being away from home and coming off the loss, I almost get the sense that they were coming into this thing with a head of steam, that people would have them already in the Super Bowl. But the fact that people are going out of their way to point out that they're going to fail, I don't know what that means. It just makes me giggle a little. And I remember that first game. It kind of got away from them, and yet they made a charge at the end to lose 38-31. I think their defense is the difference here. It's Washington defense, both of them against suspect. And Washington learned to put points on the board. Last year they scored 288. This year they have scored 408.
Yep.
But Dez Bryant is one very hot football player. They could not control him in that game when they played on Thanksgiving. I think him and Romo might play a little pitch and catch, and we're going to have an astounding situation because I think Dallas is going to win, which means, John, they'll win the NFC East with a 9-7 record.
Mm-hmm.
I bring that up because last year was the first time in the history of the NFC East,
right,
going back to 1970.
That the winner didn't have 10 wins.
Right. And if things go the way I think they're going to go, it's going to happen 2 years in a row.
Yeah. All right, in the NFC West then, do the 49ers edge out the Seahawks? They're 10-4-1. They're home against the Cardinals. Seahawks are also at home. They're 10-5, but they've got the Rams.
Yeah, they have the Rams, which is very interesting. And listen, I know what Seattle has done. 150 points, 173 points during their four-game winning streak, but 150 in the last three.
Yep.
And but I've noticed they're slumping, though, because they scored 58 against Arizona. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
They scored 8 fewer against Buffalo, which
right.
was 50.
Right.
Then they scored 8 fewer against San Francisco, which was 42.
Right.
So I think the Rams beat them 35-34.
I like that. I don't know if it's going to be right.
Natural progression. Here's one number I will point out that people, I think, don't realize. The Rams this year, by the way, 7-7-1 and vying for their first winning season since 2003.
Correct, yeah.
4-0-1 versus their division rivals this year.
That's amazing that they could be undefeated in the division and not make the playoffs.
Right, which is something the Raiders did a couple of years ago. They went 6-0. Unfortunately, they went 2-8 against the rest of the league.
That's phenomenal. That's absolutely phenomenal.
What does that tell you about a new coach coming in and stressing beating your teams in your division?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Jeff Fisher's done. And the last couple of weeks, we've seen them, you know, they had a nice win at Tampa on Sunday. But again, 2-14 to 7-7-1, that's quite a turn. You know, there's a lot of good Coach of the Year candidates. Leslie Frazier as well.
Yeah.
Who took a 3-13 team, and they're 9-6.
Right, right.
So there's a lot of good stories like that. I think both Seattle and San Francisco probably wind up winning. I find it hard to believe the Cardinals, who will start a quarterback you're familiar with in Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
It's not a good balance when you've got 5 wins and you're on your 4th starting quarterback.
Correct. Correct.
So I think the Niners hold on, and when Seattle goes into this playoffs with a head of steam, and then we'll see what else, you know, then the swing game is really Green Bay and Minnesota.
I was headed that way next because clearly, you know, the Vikings have an opportunity to play their way in if they can hold the home field advantage and beat Green Bay. I wonder, though, if there hasn't been just so much emphasis and attention put on Adrian Peterson, perhaps breaking Eric Dickerson's rushing record, that you're getting away from the task at hand, which is just win, baby.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the thing that's kind of gotten lost. Everybody is so focused. I think people have forgotten what the Vikings have achieved this year. They won 9 games the previous 2 years combined. They're 9-23 since Brett Favre left. That's not since Brett Favre left. My apologies. But 2010, 2011, 9-23.
Okay.
Now 9-6. So they started off strong. They kind of muddled in the middle. They've regained themselves the last couple of weeks. I know they lost a tough one to Green Bay, in which Adrian Peterson had over 200 yards rushing. And that's what's going to make this interesting. The Packers, I think, have beaten the Vikings 5 times in a row, so the Green Bay's got their number. But this is the week that you always watch Aaron Rodgers and Jared Allen, because Aaron Rodgers keeps beating them, but Jared Allen keeps sacking Aaron Rodgers. And I know it's almost comical to that degree, because you think about all the success. Well, they're two of the best players at their position, no doubt about it. But when you consider that in the 9 games that Aaron Rodgers has faced the Vikings, he's thrown 20 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions, and he's been sacked 30 times, okay?
Right.
Jared Allen has 14.5 of the 30 sacks.
Wow.
And includes
half
two of those sacks
half.
For safety.
Yeah, right. Right.
So I mean, I know that commercial. He went to Jared.
Yeah.
this is a little bit
yeah,
the
a little
other
different.
Way around.
Yeah,
these could be one of those games where Jared Allen has 4 sacks and Minnesota loses 24-17.
Right.
You know. So
sure.
And I think Green Bay will beat them. I think there's too much on the line for the Packers. I know it's a game's at Minnesota, and that's always a tough place for anyone to play. I just think Green Bay's starting to round into form right now, and maybe we see. The Redskins, I'm not going to try to figure out all the other ones. Redskins, Bears, Giants. I haven't done the slide rule.
Well, I was just going to ask that. If the Vikings lose, then that certainly opens a door for, say, Chicago, because they have to play at Detroit.
Right, yeah. And I think that at Detroit, which is in the midst of a horrible slump, and I'm not saying they won't try, but isn't it interesting? We could have a 2,000-yard rusher and a 2,000-yard receiver in the same division. With Adrian Peterson and obviously Calvin Johnson, who is what, 108 yards away?
Yeah, neither one gets into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean that shows you the epitome of it. Well, we had Jaren Allen. Remember all the sacks that Jaren Allen got last year?
Right, right.
I mean, you know, isn't it funny? It shows you the epitome of a team game. And I'm not saying these aren't good teams. And Minnesota's come a long way. But listen, I think the Packers have a very, very bad taste in their mouth from what happened to them last year.
All right. Well, then that let's go then to the Patriots and Dolphins. Obviously, the Patriots 3 weeks ago managed to beat this team by 7 down in South Florida. It wasn't a resounding win by any stretch of the imagination. You could even say that the Patriots just kind of lacklustered their way to a victory. And then, of course, you come back, you beat the way out of Houston, you lose to San Francisco, and you beat Jacksonville by the same score, but it feels like a loss. I'm not really sure where this Patriots team is right now. I'm not sure that what happens in the 1 o'clock games on Sunday will give this team any extra incentive to go out and win this game on Sunday, although it should.
I just think they need to play well. I mean, that effort against – listen, they played – they had a shaky first three-and-a-half – I should say first two-and-a-half quarters against the Niners and then gathered themselves and got back in that game. But last week, no matter how you sliced it, they basically did just enough to win that.
And they were lucky.
You could feel the disgust through the TV screen, the game I was watching.
Sure.
Of watching their body language, Tom Brady, everything. They played like they were in a fog. Okay? And again, that's an observer from a long, long ways away. But you always get pulse of teams. And, you know, it was if they thought, I don't want to say they thought they could just turn it on at any one time. They just weren't themselves. It's like they had a bug. Now, good teams learn how to win games, you know, even when they play poorly. Mm-hmm. And that's about as poorly as you'll see the Patriots play.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you brought up a great point. Even though the scores were identical to the Miami game was more a case of them showing a lot of grit.
Yeah.
And winning the kind of... See, I like what I've seen from certain teams like a Houston this year and a Denver this year that have won those high-scoring games and then also won 13-6 in the rain in Chicago like Houston did, or Denver 17-9 in Kansas City. Because you're going to have those games where you're not up 34-10.
Right.
And that's what New England showed me in that game. That was the game where they showed that grit. But last week was a different situation. It was, and who knows? Maybe a lot of the San Francisco game could have taken a lot out of them. I know a lot of teams, I don't have the numbers in front of me. You spend 60 minutes playing the San Francisco 49ers, I'm going to guess you're sore.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, they really, the Bears are kind of like that as well. It takes its toll. And that was a Sunday night game. They had to travel. I expect them to come out and be a lot sharper because they need to be sharper, regardless if they're playing wild card weekend or divisional round. They just need to, I think they need to leave the field with a better taste in their mouth.
Well, that I think ultimately is probably what will decide the game. I favor the Patriots slightly. I know it's like a 10.5 point spread. I don't think there's any way that I really don't see the Patriots covering that because I think Miami loves to play New England. I think Miami would like nothing more than to throw a kink in the chain of command here and knock them off and see if they could force them to have to play next week. And Miami's playing for an 8-8 record, and while that's not a whole lot to shout about, I certainly think that the Dolphins have fared better than any other team in the AFC East because both Buffalo and the Jets failed to live up to expectations, and I think the Dolphins surpassed it. So maybe that speaks to some of the character from within the Miami team, and I don't think you can ever underestimate that when a team has nothing to play for.
I think you couldn't have said it any better because there is a lot to be said for a team that yet another rebuilding program in Miami. How many have we seen?
A ton.
Okay, a ton. And here comes in Joe Philbin. And let's be honest, there were not a lot of people, there are probably more people who felt Miami might be a bottom five team this year than they did a 7-8 team.
That is exactly correct. And I think this team has got a tremendous amount of pride within. I think they've got enough good personnel. They've had an unbelievable year from a rookie at quarterback, for gosh sakes. They've got the ingredients, I think, that are enough to cause the Patriots problems if the Patriots aren't focused on just playing the game. If they're worried about this and that and keeping so-and-so healthy and just go out and play well. That's what they need more than anything else.
I totally agree. And they will get their best from Miami.
Yes, they will.
Because I know, nobody wants to go into the offseason, regardless of having to sit about thinking about a bad year or a bad game. Okay? I mean, most teams, after they lose, want to get right back out in the field and get that bad taste out of their mouth. And that's why I think, even though New England won last week, they've got halitosis. Okay, because they really did not play well. They really eat their way pie in that game. Again, a win is a win. It's not a style points league. I understand that. But like I said, you know, Brady gets sacked three times by a team that, what, had 15 sacks or 18 sacks coming into the game.
Right, right.
And they needed a couple late interceptions off of Chad Henne riddled them. So, you know, some of those question marks about New England's defense probably still remain a little bit. And they didn't execute well. I think they want to come out here and execute well. That doesn't mean you beat them 40-7. Execute well means that you limit the turnovers, you limit the penalties, you play an efficient game. Let me see if I can quote somebody you might know. You do your job.
Yeah, don't we know that, right?
What they need to do. They need to do their job. And if they do their job and Miami does their job, New England should win. But I expect a game effort from Miami. And like I said, I thought you said it very, very well. 8-8 is a big deal for a team that went 6-10. 8-8 is a big deal for, you remember where last year they ended the season by beating the Jets and that whole fiasco with
sure.
Sanchez. But the years before that, I'm pretty sure, and we know they won the division in 08. In 09, the Dolphins were 7-6 and lost their last three games.
Correct.
In 2010, the Dolphins were 7-6 and lost their last three games.
Three games, yeah. Okay.
I think now they have an opportunity here to go out with a three-game winning streak, and that makes you feel an awful lot better about having an 8-8 season.
And turned it around a little bit, and
yeah.
maybe the old rival is the new rival again from within the division. You never know.
Well, that would be nice because we haven't seen much of a, you know, this the I'll just say the new look AFC East, which has now been around 11 years. Okay?
Yeah.
Not the 5-team, but the 4-team.
Right.
11 years, 9 titles for the Patriots, 1 for the Jets, and 1 for the Dolphins. Not much rivalry coming out of there.
You'd have to say no. That's true. Russell, thanks for spending a little extra time with us today. I know we kept you a little longer than usual, but
awful. I mean, I got to talk football for more.
Yeah, I know. Darn it, it's just so difficult. Yeah, it's so difficult to turn you away, you know?
No, it's actually more difficult to turn me off.
Well, I'm trying to be nice here. You know?
No, that's okay. Hope of being humor is big on me.
Absolutely. I hope you and your family had a great Christmas.
We did. We had a lot of fun. And it saddened me to think that I won't talk to you until next year.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And again, next year is next week.
Next week. But we will make a point of it next week, whether the Patriots are playing or not. How's that?
Oh, absolutely.
And if they're not playing next week, we will have Game Show Thursday on Thursday.
Oh.
Okay? So we've already planned that out. So you'll have to be a panelist for us.
I'm all for it. No, I had a good time when I did that last year. It's really up my... And only if you give me 5 minutes to talk about the original concentration again.
Absolutely. And it was hosted by?
Hugh Downs.
Yes! People forget that.
Oh,
Hugh Downs.
No,
He was a game show host.
Huge fan.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
He didn't give you those lousy hints.
No, no.
Okay, that nighttime version where it was only 25 squares instead of 30 squares.
That's right.
And here's a hint. And they would reveal 22 of the 25 squares.
Right, right.
And frankly, I could care less what the prizes were. I just thought... solving the puzzle was a lot.
Of course, you got to solve the puzzle, you know?
It's fun about solving the puzzle, you know?
Of course it is. My goodness.
To this day, I mean, I use EYE as a pun for a lot of different things, but of course that was concentration.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they did I.
EYE heart
EYE, they
you.
Would show a picture of an eye.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I mean, that was the whole fun of concentration. And then they ruined it. But bring back Hugh Downs.
Modern day Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Yes, that's very true.
It was. It totally was. Have a great New Year's, and I will look forward to visiting with you again next week.
You got a Happy New Year to everyone out there, and thanks for letting me spend almost an hour with you today. I really appreciate it.
I enjoyed it immensely. Thanks for spending the extra time.
You got it.
All right. Talk to you next week. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, ColdHardFootballFacts.com, Bleacher Report. He's inside the playbook every Thursday throughout the course of the NFL season. You know, and since we spent so much extra time with Russell, and frankly, we just haven't had a time to get back to the issues at hand, your predictions and such, let me see if I can sneak in a few here before we get going. This one comes from Twitter. PMD31 says, listening to yesterday's playbook, talk of possible three-game losing streak heading into the playoffs. Did you forget we beat Jax? Well, I would ask you, PD, PMD, whoever the hell you are here, I would ask you, why are you listening to yesterday's playbook when this one is on live right now? Just curious. I'm kind of wondering. We've already kind of gone over this. And hopefully, you know, you'll figure it out when you listen to today's podcast, which I guess will be tomorrow, if you're a day behind. That's okay. You know, you listen to it whenever you can. I get it. We're all busy. Can't always get to the live version. I understand that. I'm grateful for the fact that you took the time out of your day to listen at all. No, I did not forget we beat Jacksonville, but that's just another person that apparently just does not get my disgust over a 23-16 win over a Jacksonville team that stinks. Marco says, game prediction, Pats 31, Finns 13. And then his 2013 prediction, I asked Patriots fans, give me one thing you think the Patriots will do in 2013. He says the Pats get Larry Fitzgerald. Now that would be a wow. That's my favorite prediction of all that we've had thrown out today. That's my favorite prediction of all. That would be a wow. I don't know that that happens. I think that had to be a trade involved in some form or fashion, but nevertheless, that would be a wow. Mary Beth says, all right, I believe the score on Sunday will be Pats 28, Miami 14. My crystal ball seems to tell me the Patriots are going to make a run for the Super Bowl, although that could be my heart rather than the crystal ball. Happy New Year, John and Eric. Love the show. Thank you, Mary Beth. You're a good fan, and you are a dedicated listener to the program, and it's always appreciated. We've had several people predict that Wes Welker will line up in a Patriots uniform. That seems to be a popular one. That's what Eric Scalavino shared with us in the opening hour of the program today, if you tuned in late, that he thinks that Welker will indeed return to the Pats next year. My prediction is that if the Patriots reach the Super Bowl, and I think it is an if, but if they do, that they will win it. We've had several people also predict draft picks and going after cornerbacks and going after large, wide, you know, big physical wide receivers and, you know, other things that are draft related, which we clearly will have more time for once the season is completed. But I think that largely most everybody feels like this team, you know, whether they have to play or not, that this team is going to be able to take care of business. In the postseason. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I have some grave concerns over New England and the way that they're playing football right now over the last few weeks. And yet, I did mention, I believe, on yesterday's program, and it certainly bears, I think, repeating here, that if it weren't for basically self-inflicted wounds against San Francisco, that this team would be riding a huge win streak, or what is it, an 8-game win streak, or 9-game win streak, because they were 3-3 at one point. So if they had won that game, they would be 12-3 right now. So it would be a 9-game win streak. And they would clearly be at the top of everybody's power ranking, and they would be an overwhelming favorite not only to win the AFC, but to win the Super Bowl. Except the Patriots shot themselves in the foot a couple of times against the 49ers, lost the game 41-34, and now they're trash. And now they stink. And now they can't get out of their own way. And now they're going to make mistakes. And now they're not motivated. And blah, blah, blah. We're going on and on and on. But it's self-inflicted problems that the Patriots did upon themselves that caused us to think this way. And I think it does speak to a bigger problem and a bigger issue. As long as the Patriots keep from self-inflicted wounds, they are the best team in the AFC. Maybe I haven't quite gotten the picture I'd like to have of Houston, but I think based on what I've seen, and I've seen a lot of games, I've seen probably 6 or 7 Texans games, I've probably seen 6 or 7 Broncos games other than the ones the Patriots have played them, and on what I've seen day in and day out, the Patriots are still the most explosive team, not only AFC, but in the entire NFL, although I think Green Bay is close. I think San Francisco is close. I think San Francisco still has probably the best top-to-bottom overall defense in the league, last week's game against Seattle notwithstanding. I have a feeling, though, the Patriots' competition is going to come from within. And by that, I mean within the AFC. And I think if they get back to the Super Bowl, I think the Patriots figure out a way to get it done this time. It's a big if. And if they have to play a wild card game next week, I don't necessarily think that is a bad thing. In fact, it may be a good thing to get them back on the right track. The one person that's injured that they really need back, as we can all agree, I think, here is Rob Gronkowski. He's already missed the last, 5 weeks. Should be ready to go. He's practiced the last couple of weeks. Should be ready to go. I'd be surprised if he played this week at all against Miami. I'd really be surprised. But that's the one that you need back. And the other one that does concern me a little bit is Aqib Talib, as we talked about with Eric in the first hour of the program today. And, you know, maybe you leave him out if you anticipate having to play next week. Maybe that's the one you think about, knowing that you might have to play next week. Other than that, it's got to be full steam ahead for the Patriots. Regardless of whether they're going to play for a bye or not at 4:25 in the afternoon on Sunday here at Gillette Stadium. Pedal to the metal. I think that's the way you have to end the year, and that's certainly the way that you have to look into 2013 if, of course, you want to reach your ultimate goal, and that is being a Super Bowl champion. All right, we're out of time for this week. Obviously, the game is here on Sunday. Next week, it's still a somewhat abbreviated schedule, depending on what the playoff seedings are for the Patriots and clearly the New Year's holiday, which comes up on Tuesday next week. So what I'm going to suggest you do is just stay tuned right here to Patriots.com, and we'll let you know exactly when and where we'll have our next programs. I also have a little college basketball duty to take care of next week. I'll be traveling to Louisville for some Big East basketball, but other than that, I do know for a fact, for certain, that I'll be in here on Thursday. And if there is a bye next week, then we will play game show Thursday next week. If there is not a bye, then we will spend all day Thursday talking about what we believe will be the Cincinnati Bengals.
So you can confirm the Big East will still be there next week?
The Big East will be there next week. Thank you very much. At least basketball-wise, they will.
Little Miami Vice to play you out right here.
I like it. I like it. We didn't play our Dolphin squeak this week, though.
No, I've laid off it.
Why?
Because we played them in such short capacity. It was only a couple weeks ago. I don't want to kill people with it. I get a lot of complaints about the Dolphin squeak.
No, from who?
From the listeners. They don't like it.
No, I don't believe that. I love the Dolphin squeak.
We get a lot of hate mail about the Dolphin squeak.
You do not.
I'm dead serious. We did.
Why?
I don't know. They think it's annoying. They think I overdid it, so I tried to dial it back this week.
It's not annoying. Do it again.
SpongeBob.
It is SpongeBob.
SpongeBob and Miami Vice. Here we go.
You have to love SpongeBob. And that's how I'll leave you. Happy New Year, everybody. Same patch time, same patch channel right here next week.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.